EOTM Radio. Entrepreneurs on the move, reshaping life for a better tomorrow.
What's going on, everybody? My name is Stephen Knight. You're listening to the Stephen Knight Show. My name is Stephen Knight, and welcome to the Stephen Knight Show here on EOTM Radio. As always, I want to thank you for joining us tonight. We have another great show lined up. We'll be discussing the latest in entertainment news, sports, fashion, and, of course, the latest in movie reviews. And also, we'll be taking a look at interracial dating as it stands in the year 2012. Has our perspective changed? We'll find out later on tonight. And then a lot of you all know that 2 days ago we lost a pop icon, Whitney Houston. We'll be honoring her as well later on in the show. We want you to be part of the discussion, so make sure you call in with your questions and comments. The number is 718-664-6543. Again, that's 718-664-6543. You can also join us in chat. There's a link on our Facebook page. But Ms. Parker, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing well. How are you? Seems like it's been forever since I've been on the show.
I know.
I only missed one week.
Yeah, I know.
The trip Miami was great. It was good. It was a good little getaway. It's been crazy busy the last couple of weeks, so I'm just trying to get a hold of everything, you know, with work and stuff. But the trip was wonderful. I needed it, and I'm trying to get on planning another one now. So
I know.
It was much needed.
Yeah.
How have you been?
I've been doing good, you know, just staying on the grind, you know, trying to make things happen, you know, so.
I understand that.
Yeah. I wanted to, I know we're going to talk a little bit later on. You're going to talk about entertainment. But, you know, tonight we kind of dedicate the show to Whitney Houston, you know, her legacy.
We'll be dedicating the entertainment segment to speaking about what happened and what they know so far. So. Definitely a great loss, but, you know, we got to keep our heads up and pray for her family.
We definitely do. And I know Chike's on the line. Chike actually has someone calling in for him later on. You know, he's going to be in the men's cook-off competition. He's hosting that, so he has people calling in. But are you on the line, Chike?
Yes, sir. I'm here. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Okay.
Hi, how are you?
Good, we should be asking you that. You doing all right?
I'm doing okay. I'm blessed and highly favored.
Good. And we send our condolences to you. We know that you had a major loss as well with your father. So, you know, definitely you have our condolences and listeners to the show. I know people have expressed, you know, their support for you. So just want to give you that.
I appreciate that so much.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say thank you to everyone for all the well wishes and the prayers. You know, it's one thing to lose family members, but then when you finally lose a parent, you know, that hits a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to thank everybody for the well wishes and the prayers.
Absolutely.
You have our support, you know, whatever you need. I spoke to you, I believe it was last Friday. I understand your pain. So hang in there.
Thanks so much.
Take one day at a time. It's not going to be easy, but take it one day at a time.
Thank you.
How's your family holding up?
Steven?
I was asking, how's your family holding up?
We're well. We're well. You know, God is keeping us strong and keeping us, you know, intact. And just to show you the resilience of, you know, my family and my family members, we had two deaths in 1 week. You know, my mom lost a brother and then turned right around and then she lost her husband. So, I have to be the champion for her because I know she's going through a lot right now.
Well, definitely all condolences to your mother. That's strength.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That is definitely strength. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Wow. It's just been a sad few days, you know.
Yeah. And I have to, you know, give my condolences to the Houston family. You know, a daughter lost her mother, and then a mother lost her daughter. So.
Yeah.
I know how we feel about Whitney Houston and the loss that we have for that, but she's family to those people.
Exactly.
And I just want to send my condolences out to the Houston and Brown families.
And Brown family, yeah. And, you know, Bobby Brown, who flew, he and his wife, they flew to L.A. to be with Bobby Christina, who's obviously not taking the news well for mom. He lost his father last night as well.
Wow.
So that's a lot of devastation going on with that.
What
so,
happened?
You know, his father passed away last night. He succumbed
Bobby
to cancer.
Brown?
Yeah.
Bobby Brown? Wow.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw their reality show, being Bobby Brown, his dad was on there, Pop Brown, and apparently he had cancer, and he passed away last night at 80-something years old. So I can just imagine what he's going through, you know, as well. But Aaron, are you on?
Aaron's here.
What's going on? How you doing?
Hey, Aaron, what's up?
Hey, Ms. Parker. Hey, Steven. Yo, Chike, man, I am so sorry for your loss, man. You know, my heart goes out to you and your family. So, you know,
Thank you, sir.
Just wanted you to know that. No problem. No problem. I'm doing good, man. Everybody. I'm kind of shocked, though. You know, I guess I can tell everybody what I was doing whenever I heard the news with Whitney Houston. I was actually driving, and I was listening to CNN on the Sirius XM radio, and I am a political science, you know, major. That's my major, just in case people don't know. So I love politics. I love everything current events. Well, anyway, I was listening to CNN, and they were about to switch to the Black in America series. And then Don Lemon came back and was like, you know, breaking news, whatever. And then he announced it. And I was just stunned. Like, my eyes started just water up and stuff. So I was, and never met this woman before in my life, but her music really just, you know, it just really touched me. So.
She definitely influenced, you know, obviously I'm someone who pursues music and, you know, I love music. I love different artists and whatnot. But one common theme that you find in of most singers, she influenced them in some way, you know. And I think that was shown, like, a lot of stars went on to Twitter, you know, even Hollywood went on Twitter just kind of, you know, sharing their experiences with her and how, you know, everyone, you know, obviously didn't know how talented she was. But one thing that you don't always know the person, you know, the image that you see, but people that knew her said that she was such a giving person and a person who's trying to uplift people. Like, you know, she was at her last, you know, public appearance really was at Kelly Price's pre-Grammy party. And, you know, so Kelly's kind of been on the train because there's been a lot of controversy or she was out of control and all this stuff. And Kelly Price has kind of been trying to set the record straight. And she said the one thing about Whitney, you know, a lot of people that you meet in the industry, they are intimidated by your talent. And she said that when she and Faith Evans did the Heartbreak Hotel song, she told Kelly, sing. Don't worry about outdoing me, sing. You know, and usually, you know, especially someone that big, you're like, you know, they'll edit you out. But you know, she just said that person. And but Ms. Parker, do you want to go ahead while we're waiting on she gets you? Do you want to get in entertainment?
Yeah, I mean, you know, speaking, I want to dedicate my segment to Whitney as well. I remember when Michael Jackson died, I was actually on my way to our old boss's house. We were actually, you and I was hanging out with our old boss, Adrian. And this
right,
time
yeah.
I was on my way to Adrian's house. So I'm like, okay, maybe Adrian
yeah.
is like bad
right.
luck or something. I was on my
yeah.
way. Her son just got back from Afghanistan. So, you know, just wanted to see him and have a drink. I had dinner plans. So I was going to stop by. And, you know, I was listening to one of the hip-hop stations here in Atlanta, and they were playing some booty-shaking music, and the music just stopped.
Right, yeah.
And the DJ
yeah.
came on, and he was crying. And, he, you know, he was like, I have
yeah.
really bad news. And I knew it was Whitney Houston. I just knew it was her.
Yeah.
You know, I think the whole situation is so sad.
Yeah.
But I think we also have to be realistic. I know Kelly Price has been trying to uphold her dignity, but I think this is also a teachable moment as Oprah would say. There has to be something that we can learn from the situation and teach other artists that are coming up. Because look at Rihanna. She's out of control. Maybe she can take something
yeah.
out of this and get her, you know, and turn her life around. But I think it's important for us to keep her dignity but also be honest with ourselves. Like, there are going to be pressures in the music business if you're going to
yeah.
be in the music business at a young age, and you have to stay grounded and you have to know that, you know, your peace of mind is more important than anything. And I think she just got involved with the wrong people. And addiction is hard. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
it's hard.
You can just imagine, if you imagine the things that you want to stop doing that you wouldn't even consider addictive. Just, for
right.
example, certain foods you want to stop eating. Just imagine that, and multiply that by 20. You know, it's a disease. Addiction is truly a disease, and she gave it her best, but I think that she just couldn't win the battle with it. And you know, it's a sad situation. My heart definitely goes out to her family, especially her daughter. I understand how it feels to lose a mother at a young age.
Yeah,
it's not going to be easy, and she's battling her own addiction issues because the ambulance was called there. According to TMZ, the ambulance was called there the night before for Bobby Christine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so she's battling her own addiction issues, apparently.
Yeah. Celine Dion was on
Good
Morning. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Celine. I saw her statement. You know how she said we're losing all these great people to drugs?
Yeah, she wish she would. And, you know, a lot of people, they... You know, because she got some kind of, you know, some people had backlash over what she said. But what I took it off was when her comments, it was not from Celine, the superstar. It was a person, because she, you know, she's made it well known that she's always been a huge fan of Whitney. You know, even when, I can't remember where she's from, but growing up, you know, listening to Whitney music, wanted to emulate her, wanted to have a great voice, to look good, blah, blah, blah. And what you heard on Good Morning America was a fan saying, how did this happen? You know, she said that,
mm-hmm.
you know, we've lost Elvis, we've lost Marilyn Monroe, Marilyn Monroe, we've lost...
yeah,
Elvis
we're
Jackson.
Losing all these great talents. Yeah, it's pretty much what she meant. She was just trying to say that we're, you know, there has to be a point where we have to look into, like, the pressure that we put on the artists.
And
the way the industry runs. That's what she was trying to say. The way the industry is, there's a lot of pressure in the industry. So we have to take a look at all of that. And as fans, we have to take responsibility of the pressure that we put and expectations we put on our, you know, Whitney Houston's and Marilyn Monroe. And that's what she meant. She didn't think she meant anything. And I know people have been going off and saying that, oh, she said Whitney died from drugs. That's obvious. So, you know, I don't think she meant anything bad by that, but I think she had a valid point. I was talking to our coworker Esther today about, because she was telling me, you know, what's your first memory of Whitney Houston? I was about 7, and my mother bought me the tape for, I forgot what album that was. I still have it, but it has I Want This with Somebody. I used to play that song all day. On my Walkman, all day. All day on my Walkman, I Want This with Somebody.
That's the Whitney album.
Where Does Broken Heart Go?
Mm-hmm.
All the songs, absolutely love. Absolutely
but
love.
You know,
I used to have my Walkman on. I played it over and over and over and over.
I think a lot of people, you know, because in the last 10 years or so, she's kind of been back and forth, you know, at least what the public image of her has been. But people have forgotten she is the most awarded female singer of all time. She, you know, has a record that the Beatles and Elvis, you know, she's passed them in terms of the 7 consecutive number one hits. You know, she's influenced a generation. You know, I've seen big times where she's come, like, on the BET Honors or BET Awards, didn't say anything, came out there, everybody's on their feet. You know, I think people really were rooting for her. And, you know, she broke so many boundaries, especially even in Hollywood. You know, at one point, she was the highest paid black actress. And a lot of people don't know that. You know, by the time she's on Wayne.
It is funny because I think we had an expectation, the same as Michael Jackson, like, we would never lose her. Like, I never thought it would be high.
It just never crossed my mind.
Just like Michael Jackson. You just never think, like, you don't think they would ever pass.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's just been shocking.
And did you know that she had future projects, you know, coming out? Like, she just completed Sparkle.
Mm-hmm.
She just completed Sparkle, and then they were making the second Waiting to Exhale. So, you know.
Terry McMillan tweeted, please somebody stop me, this is not true. You know, they have plans, you know, and you know, they're going to be starting the Sparkle promotion, you know, heavy promotion because it comes out this summer. And I can just imagine them scramble now because they said that everyone, you know, I was watching an interview on BET and the whole cast, you know, you had Jordan Sparks and Derek Luke and a lot of people. They all bonded, like, family. You know what I mean? Like, everyone really bonded. They went out to games together, and they went out to eat together. They all bonded. You know, like, kind of like what coworkers do. And, so, you know, I know that everyone's devastated by it, but, you know, my hope is that, you know, we all know she had her issues, but I pray that we celebrate her life and what she accomplished, not her flaws, you know, and that she's remembered for the immense talent that she had, you know. And I can tell you one thing. I know when Sparkle comes out, it's going to be selling out. That's her last, you know, her last movie, and she recorded two songs for the movie too, they're her last recording. So I can just imagine what's going to happen with that. But, yeah, definitely sad in you know, Hollywood and in the music industry. And did you happen to catch Jennifer Hudson on the Grammys last night?
Yeah, I missed it. We had some emergency, but I went ahead and found it. I found it online. So,
I think she did an awesome job.
Yeah, I think she did an awesome job. And she herself has had so much loss in her life. And every time I see her, I don't know, she reminds me of, like, this great strength that we all have inside of us. I can imagine, you know, I know the pain of losing your mother, but and losing your, you know, brother and nephew all in one day. So I hope she understands that, Christy. Pain. I think that was, you know, definitely in her voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I forgot. Janera, are you on the line?
I am.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys doing tonight?
You want to share your thoughts about Whitney?
Well, yeah, I was very, very disappointed to hear everything, portion of the news. And I was also disappointed to hear about how people's feelings about her were, because I think that there are a lot of people out there who have been very, very cold when it comes to her and her death. You know, I heard a lot of people saying that it's just her fault and, you know, she shouldn't have been doing what she was doing. But I don't think that her addiction should take away from the person that she actually was and the contributions that she made to our community. I mean, I just hate to hear people talking about her like that in passing, as if she made no contribution, or if whatever her addiction is, as if that just rules out everything that she's actually contributed. That just really sickens me. But
yeah, I agree.
You know,
I agree.
Everybody has their own little opinion about everything, and that's, you know, like, you know, opinions are like, you know what, everybody's got one, so.
Everyone's got one, right, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I was very, very sad. And I feel very, very sorry for her daughter. I mean, because it has to be very, very hard to lose a mom, especially so young.
Yeah. And Ms. Parker, you know, she touched on that because, you know, unfortunately that happened to her. And she said that it's like a pain you've never You don't know, mm-hmm. you know, you never.
Oh, I can just, you know, you, everybody who knows me knows how close I am to my parents, and I don't know what I'd do without either one of them. So,
yeah.
I mean, I cried when I told my mom I was moving out of the house.
So. Oh, yeah, I know, of course.
I know you did. You're probably crying because you don't get all that home cooking meal every night.
No, I'm 3 miles away. I'm still going home. So, I mean, but, you know, it's just a really, really sad thing. And despite her mother's flaws, you could tell that they were really close.
Yeah.
I hate it. I really do hate it.
Yeah, they said that Friday, she actually had to, you know, get her mom from, and you know, drug takes you out of your who you are, just like if we get drunk, we're altered by the alcohol. So I never saw the drugs as Whitney Houston. You know, I mean, of course, drugs takes you out of yourself. They said she was acting up at the pool, and Bobby Christine came and got her just to make sure that, you know, no one got pictures of her. And she was protective of her mother. You know, everyone. Any one of us would have done the same thing. So she went to the pool and got her mom and was like, "Mom, let's go upstairs," because, you know, her mom was under the influence and was supposedly, you know, doing things that wasn't, and she didn't want the paparazzi to see her take pictures. So I can just understand the pain that she's going through right now. She's been hospitalized twice, and I just hope she'll be okay.
I mean, no matter what, it's still your mom. I mean, you know what I mean? No matter what, it's bad, ugly, it's still your mom.
Definitely true.
We have Chike. Tell everyone, remind everyone about your event that you have coming on.
I'm working an event on Saturday. I'm actually doing hosting for Mr. Greg Brown. He is actually spearheading an awareness for prostate and breast cancer awareness, and I'll be hosting the all-male cook-off on Saturday the 18th at the Ukrainian Gymnasium in Northern Liberties, Philadelphia. Mr. Brown is actually supposed to be on the line. Are you there? Is he there? Yes, he's not there.
I believe he is. Greg and Wahida?
Yes.
Oh, yeah,
are they there?
I'm here.
Are you there?
Welcome to the show.
Hey, Mr. Brown, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Good to have you. So tell everybody about the event that's happening on Saturday.
Well, what we have on Saturday, February 18th, is a men's cook-off. And what the men's cook-off exactly is just what it is. It's a cook-off to see who exactly is the tri-state area's best cook. We have four categories, everything from your entrees, your meats, sides and starches, and desserts. And what they do is that they make their best dish. We don't tell them nobody exactly what to make. They make whatever they think is their best dish. And we have the folks come in and they're allowed to sample.
Okay. And what made you put this event together?
Well, I was actually at the Real Men Cook a few years back, and I noticed that it looked like it was a very successful event. They've been doing that for a few years now. I think about maybe close to 20 years, if not more. And what they do is that they invite all men from all walks of life to come, you know, and show that they can cook. But the difference with our event is the actual competition. They're pretty similar in format, but the difference is that we want to see exactly who is the better cook. You may be able to cook to your circle, but it's a little different when people outside your circle say that you can cook. So that's what we do.
Absolutely. Okay. And tell me a little bit about your work with prostate and breast cancer awareness.
Well, what it is, we got interested in the prostate cancer awareness because at GVMT, what we do is we kind of look for areas where folks haven't really tapped into. Everybody knows about breast cancer awareness, and we do participate in that. But the thing about prostate cancer is the fact that it attacks so many of African-American men and is really a preventable disease with just a screening, just, you know, it's a simple test to find out where you are. But a lot of guys, for various reasons, either they don't know that they should get checked or they don't feel comfortable being checked. So it's a deadly disease, but it's a very curable disease if caught early.
Absolutely. And as far as your future work, like the next event after the cook-off, do you have that already in the works? Anything else you want to tell us about?
Well, what we're doing is that we've been doing the men's cook-off for the past 5 years. This is our fifth one. We started back in 2008. Last year in October, we had our first women's cook-off for breast cancer awareness. So we're getting ready right after the men's cook-off. We're going to get started Tuesday morning. We're getting everything started for the women's cook-off in October. It'll be our second cook-off for the women.
Okay. So give the information for the cook-off on Saturday one more time for the people.
Saturday, February 18th, Ukrainian Gymnasium. The address is 801 North 8th Street. That's located right at 8th and Brown. That's two blocks north of Spring Garden, two blocks south of Girard Avenue. The doors open up at 7. The show starts at 7:30. The tickets are $40 for regular seats, $50 for the VIP. Donations will be going to the PHI Foundation, and it's going to be a great event.
Absolutely. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to hosting it. And I know that we have a rehearsal on Friday, correct?
Yes, sir.
So I will see you at rehearsal.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We look forward to it.
Absolutely. Mr. Brown, I thank you for coming on the Stephen Knight Show. And we're definitely going to have a blast on Saturday.
We will, man. It's been a pleasure, man. Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you for coming on.
Take care. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
All right. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Whitney situation and the Grammys, and then get into our discussion about interracial relationships and 2012. So let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Procom Voices is your complete resource for finding professional voiceover talent for all types of projects. Radio and TV, flash, corporate video narrations, and more. Here's what sets Procom apart. We give you fast access to professional voice talent from all across the country. Actors and actresses who are handpicked by Procom and experienced in bringing copy to life. And you direct your voiceover session live, by phone, as it's happening, so you can be sure of the results. Start by searching our online talent demos broken down into convenient categories. Or call our casting experts for helpful advice in finding the perfect voice. Once you've chosen one or more voice talents, simply submit your script and book your talent online. Or just call us, toll-free. At session time, you'll be connected to Procom by phone patch. Listening in on your session, you'll have the ability to interact with the voice talent you've cast and direct them yourself. Try multiple styles, hear playback, and request editing from your Procom producer to craft the perfect read. We can even connect directly to your favorite local studio via ISDN. Once you're satisfied with your recording, your files are immediately uploaded to our secure FTP site in the format you request, and you're sent a link by email. Procom Voices. Top quality voiceovers. Simple, fast, and affordable. Contact us today to get started.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. I'm your host, Stephen Knight. Miss Parker. Miss Parker.
Yes.
Oh, there she is. Okay.
Sorry, I was on mute.
I know you want to talk about the Grammys. What's
been
going on? What's your take on the Grammys last night?
I thought the Grammys, it was okay. It seemed like everybody was waiting to see what they were going to do for Whitney. I heard a lot of complaints about who are these artists, and I don't know these people,
yeah.
But I think the Grammy, people have to keep in mind the Grammy Awards, people from different, genres, from country music to rock music. It's
right,
not just hip-hop and R&B. So I think, for us, we're like, okay, who are these people? But it was okay. I had an emergency in my building, so I had to evacuate in the middle of the Grammys. But I missed the Jennifer Hudson performance, and I came back upstairs. Somebody posted it on my Facebook, so I went ahead, and I was able to see it. It was okay. I'm really happy for Adele. I'm glad she won. I'm glad her voice is back. She's definitely a beautiful girl with an amazing voice, you know, one of a kind. So I'm very happy for her.
Right.
I don't know about the whole Chris Brown thing. Oh, my God. So you know that this whole thing with Chris Brown is going on right now because, like, a lot of teenage girls posted on Facebook that he's so sexy that they wouldn't mind getting beat up by him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
So it's like this big thing going on right now with, you know, people are just going crazy about it, like, why are all these teenage girls so willing to be abused?
Exactly. It's crazy. It's crazy. Well, let's switch topics. When we come back, we're going to, in our next half hour, we dedicate our playlist to Whitney Houston tonight. So we'll be playing some of our favorite songs by her in our next half hour. But I want to get into our discussion, because we have our guest here, about interracial relationships in 2012. Although interracial relationships receive much attention today, it's taken place since the country, since colonial times, Interracial dating, which is at one point illegal, has always been a controversial subject, primarily in the past. Well, tonight I've asked a few guests to come on who actually are in interracial relationships to join our discussion and help us determine whether our perspectives have changed, and if so, how much or how little. Let me first welcome one of my good friends, Clarence. Clarence is an African-American man who is married to a Caucasian woman. And then we have Bree, who is a Caucasian woman who was married to an African-American man and currently in a relationship with one. So welcome both of you all to the show. Good evening.
Welcome.
How you doing?
Hi there.
Okay.
Hey, Bree.
So,
hey.
It's interesting because when I posted what the show is going to be about tonight, I had a friend growing up who he's mixed, so his mom is white and his dad is black, and she put on there, "Do the show justice." And I wondered, because, you know, obviously she's older than we are, I wondered what her experience was being in an interracial relationship.
Mom white or black? I'm sorry.
She's white. They're military, yeah. So let me get your first welcome to the show. Let me start with you, Clarence.
I'm doing great. Doing pretty good. How have you been, man?
I'm good. It's been a long time. But glad to have you on the show. And congratulations, because you recently got married. Is that correct?
Yeah, in October we got married.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations on that, yeah. And you all have a son?
Yes,
beautiful son.
Mark,
yeah.
Just turned 6 last week.
Oh.
Okay. Well, happy birthday to him. Let me ask you: Do you think that we've grown as a country or as a society, even when it comes to if you see a black and white couple out in public, are you getting stares or getting, you know? What is your take on that?
I mean, it's a mixed bag of reactions that you get. You know, some people will smile, and some people will frown. And I think it's all because of your product of your environment.
Right, yeah.
You know, how whatever you've been educated and whatever you've learned growing up, you know, sometimes that sticks with you. But if you're fortunate to come from an environment where color doesn't matter, you know, you'll have that opportunity to realize that we're all equal. So there's definitely a difference between us, but when it comes, you know, to get to the bottom of it, we're all people in the end.
Was there any ever, you know, obviously you started dating her and she went home to meet the family. Was there any backlash from your family that you were dating someone outside of your race?
Not from my parents or anyone. I mean, I have some cousins who come from, you know, different backgrounds. Well, they're not from the same, you know, upbringing as I was that my parents provided to me. And also I think education has a lot to do with it too. You know, when you come from, you know, being able to expand your mind and expand your opportunities to learn new things and learn about different cultures, you're kind of more open to it. You know, you're not minded. So, but, you know, just different reactions. But my parents, no problem at all.
What about from her family?
Yeah, actually, my stepfather is African American. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Father-in-law.
Or my stepfather-in-law. I call him my stepfather.
Okay.
I'm not good with the in-laws and the steps
and
all that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like we're all family. Yeah, he's
exactly.
African. You know, and my father-in-law, he's Caucasian. He doesn't have any problem. Never, no one from her side of the family has ever given me any, you know, bad response or treated me differently.
Okay, okay. And Bree, welcome to the show, Bree. You've
been
on before. So you were married first. How many years were you married?
I was married, well, that's funny. I was married for 4, but we were together for 12 altogether.
I know it was something like, okay, yeah, yeah. And that was actually on the West Coast, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you ever get any looks or feel uncomfortable in certain settings, you know, being with a black man?
Like Clarence said, I mean, I guess it just depends on the situation and the environment you're in, but
mm-hmm.
not too often, but there were maybe a couple times that, you know, there was definitely some looks, but, you know, more positive experiences than negative, I'd have to say.
So what do you, it seems like, you know, obviously we have grown as a society. Why do you think that we're more open to letting people date who they want to date?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily agree with that. Like I said earlier, I guess it just depends on where you're located and the upbringing
that you're
raised with and that of others. For example, my oldest daughter, she went for a period of time out to a school in East Cobb. And East Cobb, that area, is predominantly white. And,
okay.
I mean, I know this is about relationships, but I guess this is just to kind of,
it's
you know, give
it,
an
yeah.
example.
Right.
She, kids over there, certain kids over there are still raised with, you know, you don't mix, you don't, you know, you don't deal with or you don't socialize with. And so she had been called, you know, names, derogatory names. and so, you know, when she came back to school where we live now, which is still in Cobb County, but just a different part of Cobb County, you know, it's more of a diverse school. And so, you know, she doesn't really deal with that anymore. So, again, I guess it just depends on, you know, your environment and you know, the upbringing of who you're dealing with.
Okay. Clarence, would you say that, I know you're saying you don't see a lot of it now, but, you know, you have experienced it. I don't want to say slack, because I know to you, you know, the relationship is great, y'all are great. But would you say that people come hard on you that are black, or people come hard on you that are white, that you're in an interracial relationship?
More recently, it's been more African American people who have more problems with it. Honestly,
yeah.
And it's
okay.
It's
and
difficult.
Why do you think that is?
Again, I mean, it goes back to being a product of your environment. Education has a lot to do with it. You know, it's easy for someone to say, oh, well, you know, we were slaves and look how they treated us in the 50s and the 60s and during the civil rights movement. And it's like, but you have to be more educated than just to use that as an excuse, because there are a lot of Caucasian people who were fighting right beside us.
Kids alive, yeah.
Who were saying, this is wrong, you know. So I think it's a lot of, you know, just getting the top level of knowing something and not digging deeper to find out more when you form your opinions and your reactions to certain things.
Right, right. Bree, do you agree? Would you say that you would get it harder on your from your own race than, you know, black people? Or what's your experience, man?
I would have to say the same with Clarence is, you know, as far as my situation and my experiences, it's been more, more, I would say, African Americans that give a negative, you know, a negative feedback as to, you know, whether it be the looks or the comments or whatever. I wouldn't mm-hmm. say my own race more, no.
Okay. I think that's interesting. I know that, you know, there's some women, and not to single out any group, but I've noticed there have been a lot of African-American women who it really bothers them to see, you know, a Caucasian woman with a black man. It really bothers them. And Ms. Parker, are you on?
I am, and I was going to go ahead and beep in, but go ahead, finish
your
point.
Because I know you're not one of those people, but I'm asking you, being a black woman, why would you think that a black woman would even care that a white girl is dating a black man, or a white woman is dating a black man?
I mean, I think we're kind of talking about surface right now. I think the whole interracial dating and feelings about it from the black side and white side, I think that goes deeper in the history. So I'm not sure how far back you want to go, but I think that I agree with the gentleman that it is a lot about being open-minded and your education. Of course, the more education you have and the more you're able to, travel and see other culture, the more open you're going to be. So I think that does play a big part in expanding your dating circle and expanding and understanding other people's situation. But I think a lot of people who oppose interracial dating, especially from the black side, especially black women, it's because we have been back, you know, I don't want to say we because I didn't personally experience it, but our ancestors were, especially black women, were never looked at as being the attractive ones. So I think I know that people who oppose, black women who oppose it have told me it's because that they feel like, you know, when a black dude go after a white woman, it's more of a trophy thing, and why can't a black woman be a trophy? But, you know, if just from my own dating experience, I know that you can't choose who you love, but that took time to understand. You know what I mean? It took experience. I know you cannot choose who you love. And I think love comes in all colors and you know, sizes and shapes. So I don't have any problems with it, but I do think that, I know that you've seen my recent post, I do think that black women need to be more open to interracial dating. You know, I know I make fun of it and say, you know, you got to get down with the swirl. That's just my way of, you know, lighting the subject. But I do feel like the reason a lot of black women are single is because we have this one-track mind of, you know, we're loyal to a fault. You know, we want to stick with our own kind, and he's not going to understand me as much as a black man would. But how do you know? You haven't tried it. So
right.
I think we have to be open-minded and just try new things. You know, and I don't want to say that that everything is perfect with interracial dating. I'm sure that if you're dating a white guy, you're gonna have some issues with certain people. I have. You know, I've dated white guys, and I've had issues with, when I first came out here, I met a guy in a grocery store. He took my number. We went out to Cafe Inmenso. And, you know, I've lived in the Dunwoody area for a while, so I was actually in the Dunwoody area, and we went to Cafe Inmenso. And I remember people just stood there and stared. And I'm like, you know, I'm from the West Coast. I'm like, really? No one even notices that in the West Coast. And the same gentleman and I went on a date, just, you know, farmer's market. He was very, like, into, like, healthy eating and stuff like that. So he was like, let's go to the farmer's market and pick out some stuff. And I was like, cool, that, you know, that sounds like something fun to do. So I went out there, and this older lady, she almost ran me over with her cart. She was looking, you know, she was white. She was looking, like, so hard that she just wasn't paying attention. And it wasn't something that I'm used to, because on the West Coast, my circle is, you know, all races. So it was something that I had to become conscious of. And I recently, about 2 years ago, dated someone who was white, and it was fun. You know, he had black friends. So that situation was different because he seemed to be a well-rounded, more around, you know, different cultures as well. But the first guy, you know, he was just a regular white guy. You know, and I don't think it mattered to him. It wasn't like, oh, you're a pretty black girl. It was like, you're a pretty girl and I want to date you.
So it wasn't, I just think black women have to be more open. I've always been open to it. And I've always kept in mind that it's not going to be easy, but I know that if you find love, love doesn't really have a color, I don't believe, and it shouldn't. So.
Right. Clarence, now, and I've known you for a while, but let me ask this for the sake of the show. Have you always dated outside of your race?
Always. From.
You always, okay.
Yeah, from when I can remember first liking girls, it was all the girls that I saw in school. I didn't look at one specific group, like group or race.
Right, yeah.
And, from where I grew up, which is small town West Virginia, you would think that, like, wow, you know, you would think that I would probably just look towards one specific group of what I was used to growing up with. Mm-hmm. But, like I said, it's how my parents raised me. They let me know. It's like, hey, it's okay, you know. Women are women, females are females, people are people.
Right, yeah.
You have to be aware.
I remember when we were back in school.
I'm sorry.
I was saying, I remember that when Clarence and I were back in school, we went to the New Year's party. Remember, it was an ex-girlfriend of yours,
mm-hmm.
Hispanic, had a great time. So now I've known that you've dated all races from, you know, different races. Yeah. And Marie, what about you?
I'm black too, so it's like I'm, you know, grounded in the ethnic circle. So.
And that's exactly the point I was going to make. I think that it only becomes an issue if another race go after only another race, because I think that somehow changes the reason for them dating that race. If a white person only go after, if a white woman only go after a black man, there's something there. I know everybody has a preference, but I don't know. I just doesn't settle right with me about that. And if a black man only go after, if you're open to interracial dating, that means you date people of all races.
Right.
You don't pick one and single that person out. I think that's what interracial dating is. I think it only becomes an issue, in my view, is that you pick out and you single out one race that you only go after. That something doesn't settle right with that to me.
Well, because I know women, and Brie, I'll let you touch on this too if you want, because I don't know, obviously know everyone you've dated, but I know women, Hispanic women, who they are primarily attracted to black men. You know what I mean? Like she doesn't even date in her race. You know what I mean? And you're saying, Ms. Parker, that you think that there's something more to that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to go into it, but I think there's something more to that, and it could be just environmental. It could be, you know, how they grew up. It could be something emotional.
Right.
I don't know what it is, but I think that's when, for me personally, I feel like there is an issue. That's like me saying, you know, I would never date a black man, and I'm black. or a white guy, and that's just something just doesn't settle right. And I understand there's attraction, but it just doesn't settle well with me, and that's just me. And I know everyone has their own thing, and everyone needs to do whatever makes them happy. But just my two cents, my opinion.
What do you think about that, Brie?
I think, like she touched on a little bit, it has to do with environmental, who's around your circle.
Your social circle.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Attraction, who you have more in common with, just different factors like that. Generally say environmental. It really has to do with who you are around primarily and who you hang out with and where you go, you know, out to and what kind of crowd is there and so forth.
Mm-hmm. So, do you think that, anyone can take this question, do you think that it's more acceptable for Hispanics and blacks to date interracially versus blacks and whites? And if so, why?
Yes, because they're considered a minority as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I know, and on the West Coast, it's just
you know, everyone dates everyone, and especially Hispanic date black. But I think they feel kind of feel like it's an even playing field, that no one is better than the other person. I think that's really where the connection comes in. You know, we're in the same boat kind of connection.
Right.
But it is, you know, it is what it is. You know, whatever attracts the other person, I guess you can't really help it. But I think that's the difference between a black person dating a white person. It's for some reason society see it as, oh, you're trying to date up or something, you know?
Geography has a lot to do with it because, you know, here in Northern Virginia, we have a very large Hispanic population, and it's not very common to see black men and Spanish women as it is with black men and white women. Now, mm-hmm. you know, it can be different on the West Coast. Like we said, we're both minorities, but, you know, a lot of Spanish men are like, oh, no, that doesn't happen.
No, they don't like it. I'm not saying they like it. I approve of it.
Right.
happening.
They don't like it.
They don't like it. But it's going down.
what would you say, Clarence, to anyone who frowns upon or just feels any negative way towards interracial dating, relationships, marriages? What would be the one thing you want to tell them?
Well, man, there's so many different details that we can get into regarding it. I mean, because it, you know, if you see something just from looking at it from, you know, there's some white women who like thug black guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's some white women who want the professional, successful black man, you know, and there's some people who are just like, hey, I realize that, you know, I don't have a preference, so I'm going to not hold myself to any restrictions. So,
right, yeah.
You know, and sometimes you'll see someone you'll know, it's like, man, I know they probably get it hard because, you know, if I look and I see this guy with his pants hanging down and he's with a white girl and, you know, he's got his hat on backwards and, you know, somebody's already frowning upon that, but
right, yeah.
It's so difficult, but I don't know. Also, when you're in that type of relationship, I think there is something where you need to educate each other about your cultures.
You definitely
need to educate, because I know some people, some black men who are like, oh, I don't date, you know, black women just because they don't understand me, they don't get anything. And I'm like, okay, well, what do you have in common with the white women that you date? And I'm like, okay, well, what all do you talk about? What do you discuss? And it's like, my wife and I, we it was funny because when Red Tails, the movie, came out, and I was like, man, you know, that looks like a great action movie, but I wonder if they're really going to tell the story of the movie.
Right. We got into
that discussion where, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, well, they're, you know, they're Tuskegee Airmen. I told her how, you know, some of them actually went to my college that I graduated from, and we got into a long discussion about it. And then I'm always curious to see how often does that happen in interracial relationships, especially, African-American men and Caucasian women, because it's, you know, you have to know certain things to be able to have, you know, good conversation. I mean, it just I don't want to be the person that's like, I don't want to date just one race, or I just want to, you know, because they don't have anything in common with me, or they can't identify with me. It's like, help one another understand that, have that conversation.
So do you think that between you and your wife, did you all have learned a lot from each other's cultures just from being each other and being around each other?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
It's, a lot of it is serious and a lot of it is joking. You know, we'll go back and forth about silly stuff all the time. It's a learning experience. It's always a learning and a growth experience for both of us because, you know, we have children to raise. They're going to be interracial children. So it's like we're responsible for you know, how they see the world and how they view the world. And so it's like, you know, right now, our son now, he doesn't know, you know, he doesn't know what color he is. He doesn't say, oh, I'm black or I'm white or anything. He's just like, I go out and I play with all the kids. And he's like, yeah, that kid's pink, that kid's brown, but we're all kids.
Right, yeah.
So.
Yeah. Bree, what would you tell someone that has a negative view or something to say about, you know, interracial couples? What would you say to them?
I would just, you know, probably say, look, it's 2012. It's time to leave all that. I mean, well, you know, never forget, but we need to leave that behind and move forward. Otherwise, you know, I mean, there's always going to be a roadblock. You know what I'm saying? And, and like, people really need to educate their children. And, I mean, I think there's always going to be some form of, you know, racism around. But, I mean, we just really need to grow and learn how to love each other, because, I mean, it's still a very heated topic, and it just it's just time to move on. Just education, really.
Yeah, and I agree. I think Clarence and I think Ms. Parker said it as well, that it seems to be, it depends on where you are in the country, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The open-mindedness of people, you know, some people, they're so sheltered, all they know is what's around them.
Yep.
But to have exposure, you know, you like Ms. Parker said, you know, growing up, you know, her friends were all different races, you know, different ethnicities. So I do think that we as a people have to educate each other. We have to be open and have that exposure for ourselves, provide the exposure for ourselves. But I want to definitely thank both you and Clarence for coming on tonight and just kind of giving your perspective. You know, I think that a lot of times if you want someone's perspective, you go to some people who are experiencing it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This is the reality that you all live in, and I definitely appreciate you all coming on and educating our listeners, you know, just from your perspective. So thank you both.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for the opportunity.
And
everyone, this was great.
Absolutely. I appreciate it.
I agree.
It was
a good discussion. Thank you both.
All right. We'll take a quick commercial break. We come back. We have our special tribute to Miss Whitney Houston. Right back.
XXL is the number one selling music magazine worldwide, covering amongst the widespread from breaking news, new music, and all time's biggest artists. If you're not tuned in with XXL, you should grab your copy immediately at your nearest Walmart or other place of business. XXL is the most trusted name in the world of hip-hop. Visit XXLMag.com for news updates, hottest new hip-hop bangers, and the most popular blog site in hip-hop society today. Are you interested in becoming a part of XXL? Contact XXLMag at 212-807-7100 or contact XXL through email at XXL@harris-pub.com. Thank you for your time, and I hope you enjoy XXL Magazine. This commercial was brought to you by EOTM Radio and Plastic Speedy Records.
Well, now it's time to go on to Steven's playlist, and as I indicated earlier in the show, we decided to dedicate it here to the musical legacy of Whitney Houston. Me personally, I've been a fan all my life. I don't even know how I started liking her, but I've always been a fan of her, and she's definitely influenced me and my music. As I'm sure she's influenced generations, you know, thousands of people, you know, hundreds of people, whatever. So we're gonna play some songs from her that I like and that, you know, we here at the show like. But in the future, if you are interested in having your music featured on our show during Stephen's playlist, just email us at thestephennightshow@gmail.com. Attach one or two songs, your bio, and one or two promotional pics. All songs must be edited for radio, so don't be on here cussing and, you know, all that kind of crazy stuff. But we definitely look forward to hearing from you. Well, the first
definitely
song...
Definitely look forward to hearing from you.
Absolutely. The first song is from Whitney's last album, her 2009 album entitled I Look to You. It was actually the lead single with the same title. I like this song because to me it's like a prayer. And I think that, you know, through all the ups and downs she had, you know, she said this was the song that made her want to come back and do an album after 7 years. So check out I Look to You and enjoy Stephen's playlist. Thank you.
even hear me now. I'm lost without a cause. After giving it my all, winter storms have come and darkened my sun. After all that I've been through, who on earth can I turn to? I look to you.
Of my own, but each time should stay, I would only be in your way. So I'll go, but I know I'll think of you every step of the way. And
Throughout the years, definitely impacted a generation with her voice. And
so
like
many
I said,
of my favorite, so many songs are, of hers are my favorite. I'm like, I couldn't even pick out of those five or six.
No.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're right, though. I mean, it was funny because I posted on Facebook, what's your favorite Whitney Houston song? People said, it's Too Many Shoes From. You know?
Yeah, that's how I was going to respond, but I couldn't even every time I want to, you know, pick one, I'm like, no, I like that one better. So I'm like, it's really not a Whitney Houston song that I don't like. It was, that probably would have been a better question to find one that you didn't like.
And easier, But yeah, but I definitely want to thank Bree and Clarence for coming on and you know, sharing
their perspective. Very good discussion. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And even you, Wayne, and you know, being from the West Coast, now living in Atlanta, you know, you've seen different.
No, Bree is as well. Bree is as well. So
yeah,
I understand
as well.
Exactly what she was talking. Yeah, understood exactly where she was coming from.
Yeah, so I want to thank them both. And for all you that listened at home, thank you again for tuning in and supporting us, spreading the word. And you'll have a great week, and God bless.
Have a great week, and we'll see you back here next Monday.
All right.